I'd like to welcome back my next guest. He's Greg McBride with Bankrate.com. Greg is a senior vice president, chief financial analyst, and providing analysis and advice on personal finance for, as I said, Bankrate.com. Hey, Greg, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate you having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you for telling me that. I want to talk about mortgage rates. We've seen quite an increase in interest rates. The Fed has increased their very short-term rates about a quarter of a point. But in the bond market itself, which is not controlled by the Fed, we've seen a significant rise in the yield on 10-year bonds, the Treasury bonds, and the 30-year Treasury. What's happening with mortgage rates based upon the interest rates that we've just seen?
Well, mortgage rates are, of course, very closely correlated with the yields on those longer-term bonds. So during the fourth quarter of 2016, when long-term bond yields spiked up, we saw the same thing with mortgage rates. Mortgage rates were up about 0.75 percentage point during the last 2.5 months of 2016. And what was unprecedented, really, Steve, was the fact that for the first time ever during a calendar quarter, we did not see mortgage rates decline on any given week during a calendar quarter. That's the first time we've ever seen that. They were up every week except for one, and the 1 week they weren't, they were flat. So that was the story as we wrapped up 2016, you know, mortgage rates, bond yields, everything moving up sort of on this expectation that we're going to see big government stimulus and we're going to see, you know, faster economic growth. As we come into 2017, we've already started to see mortgage rates pull back a little bit. And I think that's kind of a harbinger of what we're going to see throughout the year. Mortgage rates are going to bounce up and down. I think you're looking at your 30-year fixed rate between 4% and 4.5% for the bulk of the year and just kind of gyrating within that range. I think they end the year higher than where we started at about 4.45%. But again, a lot of ups and downs during the course of the year. And if there's a market sell-off or just any kind of economic stumble along the way, you can expect mortgage rates will pull back below that 4% mark. It may be brief, but I think that's good news for people that may have missed that refinancing opportunity in 2016.
Wow.
So they can pounce at that point.
That's a lot to digest. So let's go through that a little bit. So we saw mortgage rates hit. I mean, I don't want to go to the very low, but it seemed to me that they were around 3.5 to 3.875 for the longest time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, during the summer months, absolutely. And
yeah,
we were flirting with record lows. So
that's
just to kind of put it in that context.
Yeah. And now, I guess they shot up between 4% and 4.5%. And where are the rates right now?
We had topped out at about 4.3% toward the latter part of 2016.
Okay.
Now they've since pulled back to about 4.2%.
Okay. So now we have mortgage rates. So now it's a little bit more expensive for people to buy homes. And I guess at some point, we're also seeing home prices increase as well. So there's this kind of double whammy going on because of this. But you said something that caught my ear, and that was that there was not 1 week where you saw rates actually, what, come down? Was that what you said?
Yeah, exactly. Not 1 week where rates declined.
Declined.
During the calendar quarter, the fourth quarter of
last
year.
For a whole quarter. So that means, it sounds to me that's like an inflection point. There's something different about the trend, and now maybe the trend is higher. Now, there was a lot of emotion after the election. Stock market rose very dramatically, interest rates responding to the prospect of higher GDP growth rose, and higher GDP growth also means possibly higher inflation. So a lot of bonds sold off, interest rates rose. Now people are wondering, are they going to continue to rise throughout 2017? But I'm hearing in your view, you don't think so.
No, I think the bulk of that move came already, what we were seeing during the fourth quarter of last year. And, you know, I think that was really the inflection point, not necessarily the tip of the iceberg. So I think as we move into 2017, I think you are going to see a lot of volatility because you've got, you know, yes, the prospect of faster economic growth because of, you know, government stimulus and tax cuts and things like that. But you've also got the reality that we're still a slow growth economy. We still have an aging population. Productivity growth, which is really how, you know, the key ingredient to increasing the standard of living, is dismally low.
Yeah.
You've got those kind of competing factors. And so I think 2017 is going to be a year where you're going to see some uneven economic growth, much like we've seen the past few years.
Okay.
And as a result, I think you're going to see a lot of ups and downs, particularly with regard to mortgage rates.
My guest is Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate.com. You mentioned this word very quickly as you were speaking before, a flight to quality, which is something that happens if there's a blip in the economy or some worry about the economy. You know, institutions pull money out of stocks and they have to put it somewhere. They say, stick it into U.S. Treasuries, which drives the price up and the yields down. So if the past is any prologue to the future, we've had quite a bumpy ride for the last, 5 years. There's nothing pointing to 2017 as being any different. So maybe expect this flight to quality.
That's my expectation. Yeah. I mean, you hear a lot of people say, well, you can just kiss low rates goodbye. You know, it's a thing of the past. We'll never see those lows again. I'm pretty skeptical of that. You know, I do think that at some point during 2017, we are bound to see that flight to quality for whatever reason. It could be an economic stumble. Maybe it's a geopolitical crisis. It could be something, in the other side of the world. We saw that a couple of times last year.
Yeah.
So even things that really have nothing to do with the U.S. economy, it could be something like that. Those type of things are good news for mortgage rates historically.
Yeah.
They produced great opportunities for things like refinancing or really, a great windfall to that home buyer who all of a sudden sees mortgage rates drop and their payment ends up being less on that new home than they thought it was going to be.
I wonder if the access to loans has been made easier recently and there's a trend of easier money from the banks. You have any comment on that?
Well, yeah. Anytime people talk about credit being tight, I just kind of roll my eyes because, in an environment where people with credit scores as low as 620 can get a mortgage with just 3% down, I think it's kind of silly to be talking about how credit is tight. Now, the exception to that are small business owners. For the average person who has pay stubs and has tax returns and gets a regular paycheck and can document their income that way, yes, I think, credit availability is really, really solid as long as they have, respectable credit and a little bit of money to put down. It's the small business owner who, from the documentation of income standpoint, who has been on the outside looking in, and that's only improving at a very slow pace.
So if I'm going out for a new car loan or even a loan on a used car, I shouldn't have too much problem.
Exactly. I mean, credit availability is really good. And the competitive landscape has really benefited car buyers in that the rates we've seen over the last year or so are the lowest we've ever seen. And this is at banks and credit unions alike. So while I do expect rates to trickle higher a little bit during 2017, it's not going to be something that's an impediment to car buyers in any way. I mean, just to put this in context, a difference of a quarter percentage point on a $25,000 car loan, it's $3 a month. Nobody's going to end up taking the bus instead of buying a car because rates went up.
Gotcha. You know, savers, those who don't like the stock market, those who put money regularly in their savings accounts, checking accounts, have really been under attack for many, many years now. We had this little rise of interest rates with the Fed. Are savers getting any relief in 2017?
They haven't gotten it yet, but I do think for the first time in many years that 2017 is going to be a year where savers do start to see some improvement. Now, I think that improvement's going to be skewed to the back half of the year. I think the Fed is going to have to raise interest rates a couple of more times before you start to see broad-based improvement across things like savings accounts and certificates of deposit. But by year end, when we chalk it up, I do think it's going to be a year where we've seen pretty modest improvement. So, for example, the top online savings accounts, which right now pull in about 1.1%, I think by year end, they'll be up at 1.5%.
Oh, really?
And the top yielding CDs, which right now, if you go all the way out to 5 years, you might pull in a little over 2%. I think, again, you'll get some modest improvement on CDs as well. So by year end, I think those CDs will be pulling in about 2.5%. So modest improvement. You know, of course, there's a cloud to every silver lining, right?
Yeah.
And that is, you're going to have to keep your eye on inflation. So I do think that, yes, I think savings returns will improve, particularly in the back half of the year. Hopefully, it's not just a moral victory.
Right.
You know, if inflation moves higher as well.
Well, it sounds great to get 1.5% on a money market. And, if that does in fact come to being, But again, inflation's running at 2-2.5% right now with the prospect of it running even higher. So be careful there. Make sure you don't have all your money sitting in that, in those, you know, risk-free savings account, because you're not going to keep pace with inflation. Listen, you had mentioned that the Fed could raise rates 2 times next year. A lot of people are thinking it's 3 times. Do you think that's crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I'm very skeptical of it. This time a year ago, the Fed was projecting that they were going to raise rates 4 times in 2016. They ended up doing so once.
Right.
The Fed has this long-held tradition of they overestimate where they think the economy is going to be. They overestimate how much interest rate activity they think they're going to be involved in. And then they spend the rest of the year ratcheting that back. And I don't see any difference this year. So the Fed says they're going to raise rates 3 times. There are a lot of people out there that are projecting 3 or 4 mm-hmm. or more rate increases in 2017. Mm-hmm. I'll believe it when I see it. I've got the Fed raising rates 2 times this year. And again, because I think a lot of the factors that we saw in play in 2016 are going to carry through to 2017.
You know, even the Fed just said that they have a heightened sense of economic uncertainty based upon, I think, the change in the administration and some of the comments that have been made. So I don't think they're going to be quite so willing to start raising rates so fast.
That's exactly my view, is that, you know, there were a lot of things over the past few years that caused the Fed to just kind of hold off a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I don't think that those things have gone away. I think in 2017, I think there's going to be plenty of those things that make them sit back and say, well, you know, let's just wait another 6 or 7 weeks until the next meeting, and then we'll take another look at things. And so as a result, that's why I'm betting the under when it comes to how active the Fed's going to be in 2017.
My guest, Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate.com. To find out more about Greg and to hear this interview again, don't forget to join the conversation at stevepomerantz.com. That's P-O-M-E-R-A-N-Z, stevepomerantz.com. Thanks for joining me, Greg.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.